Hi, morning everybody. So it's great to be here this morning. When I woke up, I was still not sure whether I'd be here or not, but I am, which is great. but we're gonna spend a bit of time looking at what it is to be part of the family. I think did it say on the notices we are family, and it's great to be part of family, isn't it? And the moment that we become a Christian, the moment we give our lives to Jesus, that is the moment that we all of a sudden become part of the family of God. And what I want us to do this morning is to get something of the significance of what it is to be part of the family of God. And one of the things that I love about God and I love about the Bible is that God will meet us where we're at, and he will use things to help us understand the truths that he wants to communicate to us. So when we look at the family of God, we're all, whether we like it or not, we're all part of a natural earthly family. And there's a lot of things about being part of a family that mirrors what it is to be part of God's family. Now, my guess is that we've all got different experiences of family. Some of those will be good, some of those will be not so good. But we will all come from different sort of family backgrounds. For me, I grew up with my three other brothers, with our parents. Dad moved around with his job a fair bit, so we had no extended family around. It was just us as a family unit. And that was all that I knew of what family was, until I met Esther, whose parents are divorced, so she's got that sort of dynamic in her family, but all of her extended family lived locally. So when we got married, I had to get used to a whole different dynamic of regular family gatherings, and it was quite common for Christmas times or certain times of the year for there to be about 20-odd people around a table, and I have to say I really like it. I really enjoy it. Although there was one slightly embarrassing occasion a few Christmases ago when we were all sat round the table and the family cat wandered in. And the cat jumped up on my lap and I started stroking it, and they started saying, "God, look at that. He's not normally that good with strangers, especially blokes as well." And there I am, sort of thinking, hey, look at me, cat whisperer here. And I'm stroking away and it's purring away. And I'm feeling really big-headed. I think, you know, not only am I made it into the family, but actually, you know, they're impressed with my cat skills. Well, that cat is an evil little cat, because without warning, it suddenly turned, sunk its claws and its mouth into my hand. Well, anyway, I forgot the surrounding temporarily, and I grabbed that cat by the scruff of its neck, and I hurled it right across the room. And then in shock horror, I sort of looked at these 20-odd faces looking back at me. I was just throwing the family cat across the room. Anyway, I said, he won't be doing that again. And but if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 for a moment. What we'll do a bit later on is sort of look at the context of family life, as you know, as we experience it here as being part of family. But I want to look a little bit further back to how some principles of how we can see something of family working with God and with the Son. So Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? And you see something of the father-son relationship. When you read through the Gospels, Jesus is constantly talking about his father and how he is in constant communication with his father. But this father-son dynamic is really important, because up until this point, God had always sent prophets ahead of him to tell the people the message from God. And all of a sudden there's a change, because he sends his son. And that's really significant, because the son is the son of the father. He is family. You know, there's something very important about that, because the son is God's representative. So even though in times gone by God had sent prophets with the message that he'd sent them with authority, the son carries a different authority because he is the son. He carries that authority because he is representative of God. But the son is also an heir. You know, when somebody's an heir of something, then, you know, they're sort of set apart, aren't they? I mean, if you look at, for example, the royal family, you know, Prince Charles is heir to the throne. You know, he's number one in line. That puts him in a very special place, you know, and a very significant place, a place of real importance. But also the Son is the radiance of God's glory. So when Jesus came on earth, and Jesus as the Son, he radiates something of the glory of God. And in the Old Testament, there's Moses had to turn his face away because of the glory of the Lord that came. And yet Jesus is the glory of God. There is something amazing about the fact that not only does he represent God as the Son, but he also emanates something of the glory of God. And what I want us to do is just to get a sense of what that means this morning, you know, of the Son in relation to the Father, and how he displays that glory, how he carries that authority, and how he is a person of importance because he is an heir. But if you flick over into Hebrews 2, in fact from verse 5, It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God has left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am and the children God has given me. And it goes on. But as born again Christians, we are part of the family. And Jesus very clearly here states he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. Somebody prayed that earlier in the worship. You know, we are brothers and sisters of the Son. And that puts us in an incredible position. If you can just get hold of that for a minute. If you think about the position of the Son, of the radiance of the Father's glory, of the authority, of being the representation of God, the representative of God, we, as children of God, as brothers and sisters of the Son, carry that same position, which is mind-blowing. You know, that means that I represent God. That means that I am the voice of God to the world around me. That means that I am an heir along with the Son. I radiate the glory of God. And that is amazing. And I think if we are honest, there's plenty of times throughout day-to-day living where you think, oh, I've got to the end of another day. And, well, if I'm honest, I don't really think that I've radiated much of the glory of God. And then you start unpacking it and think, oh, oops, I definitely didn't on that occasion. But, you know, we need to be aware that we are people of position. You know, we are members of God's household, members of God's family. I don't know if anybody watched the news this morning, but there's a big thing about the American presidency that's coming up, and Hillary Clinton or something is running for president. But they were saying that it looks like there could be a sort of a bit of a it will be either the Bushes or the Clintons or something. They used it in those type of phrases where the Clinton family and the Bush family are in the running for presidency because, you know, they've got a good history of it and they're quite powerful political families. And that got me just thinking about how sometimes we see certain families, the royal family being an example of a well-known family in this country, but there are certain families that around us that are families of significance. And if you're part of that family, then you are somebody of significance. And the royal family, you know, we don't know too many of the names of the servants that serve that household, do we? We're not terribly sure of who makes the beds and who does the shopping and all of that. But we pretty much know who makes up the family and who is a family member. And they all of a sudden are significant people because they're part of the family. But we are all part of the family of God. We are people of significance. And I think I have to remind myself frequently that I am a member of God's family, that I am a son, I'm a co-heir, I'm all the things that God says that I am in the Word. And if we really get hold of it, if we really understand who we are in terms of being a member of the family of God, then it should change the way that we actually live. It should change the way that we approach people. It should change the way that we walk around town. It should change the way that we interact with those around us. Because actually we are people of position. We are people who should display the glory of God. We are people who carry authority because we are sons and daughters of the living God. And if we really get hold of that, it gives us so much more confidence and faith to say, well, actually, I've got a right to speak out. I've got a right to stand up for justice. I've got I have a right to just to live my life in such a way that will display the glory of God. And all too often we get caught up in trying to fit in, or trying not to offend, or trying to live the easy way sometimes, even though we know that, I'm a Christian, and I probably should tell you that, that's wrong. Or, sometimes we just compromise too much. But actually, if we really know who we are, and if we start behaving like we should do, then we should have the confidence to be world changers around us, shouldn't we? Just flick into 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians 12. So that's kind of the background of who we are and our position as part of the family of God. But in practical terms, Paul brings about this analogy of being a body. So from verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. It's reassuring, isn't it, to know that we're all different and that it's okay to be different. That whole analogy about the body having different parts and all of us having a different part to play within it, but all being equally important, is really reassuring. Because if we're not careful, we can look around us and we can look at each other, and we can desire to be like certain people, or even fall into the trap of thinking, I've got to be like that person and that person, but actually it's okay to be different. In fact, it's good to be different. We in this room, if you look around, We've all got different backgrounds, different skills, different careers, different abilities, different experiences. And because of that, when we come together, that diversity is a really positive thing. It means that we're a lot more effective as a body of people because we have such a wide range of experience and background. So it's good. It's good to be different. But verse 25 talks about there being no division. So even though we might all be different, we are still all equal and all valuable members of the body. And I just want us to feel affirmed in that this morning, that it is really good to be different and to be unique. And I don't know if anyone here has ever kind of felt so sort of different or set apart in your experiences of church or being a Christian or whatever, where sometimes you've thought, I feel really different, and I sort of feel like I should try and conform, or I should try and I should put myself into a certain mold. Actually, it's good to be really different. God has made you. You are unique, and that is a really good and positive thing. And actually, it's good for each other to spend time with people who are different, because it brings about a real richness, and it helps each other to grow in our faith and our journey. But as family, as a body, when we come together, we're so much more powerful, aren't we? When you think about this analogy about the body and the different parts, if you take any one of those parts out in isolation, they're not as effective as if they all come together. So, if you take your eye out, you won't be able to see. Well, you say, well, I can hear all right, yeah, but I can't see. We need to have we need to have each other and all the gifts and abilities that God has given us and the differences that we are, so that we can be an effective body. And as a family, when anybody suffers, it says, if anyone suffers, then we all suffer together, don't we? And there's nothing better than to have, if you're struggling, or if you're suffering, or if things aren't going so well, there's nothing better than to know that there are people behind you, that there are people standing with you, that there are people sharing in that suffering with you. And the passage also talks about honouring, if we should honour people. And that's one thing that we do really well here at Ashwood, isn't it? We're really good at honouring each other and supporting each other. And I was really encouraged about that, about the marriage course this morning. I mean, that's just another really great example that, we're positive about supporting things like marriage. And is that one working? Yeah, there we go. Now, if you'd said mute it, I'd have been here half an hour trying to mute it. If anyone wants me to mute it, just put your hand up and I'll... Anyway, where was I? It's being part of family is great, isn't it? Because we can support each other where we're at. And with all the relevant stuff that goes on in life, whether it's marriage, whether it's the freedom in Christ stuff, whether it's whether it's just being there for each other. One of the things that Esther and I were so blessed with when we had Martha was just having people make meals for us for a couple of weeks, and we were so blessed by that, because we felt like people were behind us, people were involved in that significant part of our lives. And actually, more than that, when we've told people outside of Ashford, hey, do you know what the guys at church are doing for us? They've been bowled over by that. They said, what, really? A church doing that? Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about us caring for each other in real, practical, relevant ways. So, family. You know the saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Now, like it or not, we're all stuck with each other because we're all part of family. And it's actually a great thing. It's a really good thing that we, together this morning, are family. And the great thing is that we've got extended family all over the world. Many of them are meeting at this moment in time. And we have some great family bonds because we're part of the same family. And I was thinking, you know, if you think about your own sort of family unit, that's the place that you return to, where home is. And it doesn't matter what has gone on in the day. You know, if you've had a really bad day or you've made a right goof with something and you want the ground to open up and swallow you, you always return home. And you can close the front door and shut the outside world out. And you've got your family there to either laugh at you and tell you what a plonker you are, or to just accept you and nurse you through those kind of times in life. But home and family are always the place that you return to. And that's because that's because there's an element of safety, there's an element of security, and there's an element of acceptance there. And that's so true of what we have in as part of the family. You know, we have and should feel a sense of safety when we come together. We should feel a sense of security and we should feel a sense of acceptance. You know, I always think when on our faith journey, I always think that God honors us when we step out and fail. And he prefers us to do that than not step out at all. But actually, in this context, in family context, you know, this is a great place to step out and fluff it up, because we've got each other to support and to help and to equip and to strengthen, haven't we? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. Because, you know, we are actually, every one of us are called to go and be effective for the kingdom of God. Every one of us are on the front line. You know, when you get to your workplaces, when you're rubbing shoulders with your neighbours, when you're in the supermarket, that's front line stuff. You know, we are called to be effective for the kingdom of God out there in the world. But when we come together as family, this is the place that we can strengthen ourselves, that we can grow in our gifts, where we can mess it up, but know that we've got people to say, well, you know, don't worry about it, let's work our way through it. You know, this is a really important, powerful structure that God's put together that we can really benefit from. But it all comes down to relationship. You know, the closest knit families are those that have very strong relationships with each other. And we need to keep developing and strengthening those relationships within the family, don't we? You know, we need to spend time with each other. We need to get to know each other, be there for each other. One of the things I really like about family is the fact that you can have accountability and that you can come under the covering of church, of leaders. You know, God's put some great leaders in place here in Ashwood, hasn't he? And I feel so safe and secure in knowing that I've got leaders who are over me, because that means that I have a covering, a spiritual covering over me that gives me an element of safety, so that if I mess it up, if I make some wrong judgments on things, I know that there are people around me who can pull me back if I need it, who can just support me in what I'm doing. And it is such a positive thing. I sometimes get asked to speak very occasionally at other places, and I will always make a point of saying to Matt, you know, this is what I'm doing. Not because I want him to say, oh, brilliant, oh, well done, pat you on the back. But because I want that spiritual covering over what I do. I don't ever want to do anything independent of local church. I don't ever want to be off out on my own doing anything. I want to be always operating within the body of Christ, within the family of God. Because the moment I go off trying to do anything on my own, whether it's trying to be effective in my workplaces or whether it's doing other things that come my way ministry-wise or whether it's just day-to-day living, I don't ever want to be doing anything completely independent, because when I do things as part of the body, as part of the family, and with the covering that comes with it, that is so powerful. It means that I'm in a place of safety, I'm in a place of support, I'm in a place where I'm not just an eye operating out of the body without the foot and the hand and all the rest of it. You know, I am God's representative. I want to display His glory and all the rest of, and all the rest of it. You know, that is my position to do that. But I need to know that I am part of the family of God. And I just want to encourage us this morning that, you know, being part of the family is such an important, privileged place to be. But you know, we need to work at it, you know, as well. Like in any family, and in any, you know, in any family, we need to work at relationships. We need to work at being an effective member of the family. And I want to encourage us this morning. Let's really work at building each other up. I mean, I think we're good at it. You know, we just love being part of the family here, and it's absolutely fantastic. But let's just be challenged again to keep building family, to keep building relationships, to really understand the benefits of being part of the family, of having that spiritual covering of, and also just being reminded that we're all equal. Every one of us are equal members of the family. We all are God's representative. We all carry His authority. We're all heirs. I just want us to close our eyes for a minute. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit's just prompted anything in you at all this morning, but I just want to give us a moment to respond to the Holy Spirit and to what the Word of God is saying. If you've been in a place where you may have had a wrong attitude towards church or a wrong attitude towards the family, or you've perhaps not had as full an understanding of what being part of the family is, and just lay that before the Lord this morning. If maybe the Holy Spirit's just prompting you to play your part within the family in a fuller way, with more understanding, then Yeah, just lay that before him. I just felt when I was preparing this that maybe there's folk here who you don't feel that you're part of the family. I don't know everyone here. I don't know where everybody's at, but you know there might be some of you here who you've never really felt part of the family. And the reason why you've never really felt part of the family is because you've never taken that step to become a son or daughter of the living God. And maybe you're challenged this morning. Maybe you're challenged thinking, well, actually, you know, we sang a lot of songs this morning about Jesus and about what he did on the cross and about the fact that he defeated death and you know, we celebrated Easter last week, but actually we celebrate it all the time, don't we? We celebrate the fact that Jesus died so that we could be forgiven and so that we can come into relationship and family with him. And I just want to challenge you this morning that if you're in a place where you know that the Holy Spirit is just showing you that, you know, you can be part of the family, then this morning is your morning to say, yeah, Lord, I need your forgiveness and I want to accept you. Father, I really want to thank you that you have put together this family structure. And Lord, we've all got different experiences and expectations of what family is because we're all coming at it from a different perspective. But I really thank you, Lord, that I thank you that your structure is perfect. And even though some of us might have not have had some great experiences, I just want to thank you, Lord, that being part of your family is an amazing thing. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God. I thank you that you have chosen to display your glory through the likes of us. And we just want to lay down before you all the negative within us, all the times that we've felt that we are not worth it, all the times that we've felt that we're not worthy, all the times that we've thought, well, if I were God, I wouldn't choose me. Because actually we are all people of position because we are your son. Lord God, we want to display your glory. We want to carry out life with your authority, and we want to be your voice. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would help us to just to strengthen ourselves as family. Lord, the ways that we support each other, the ways that we interact with each other, the ways that we just build relationship, just help us, Lord. That next bit in Corinthians talks about love. And it says that we can do all sorts of things, but unless we do it out of love, then it is just a waste of time. So I just pray, Lord, that you would fill us with love in this place this morning.